Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. I'd just like to thank everybody for being here so we can get things done that need to be done in the kingdom. I'm behind the eight ball here. I'm looking for the song that I'm supposed to play. But I tell you what, we're just going to go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our hearts. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you show us how we should live in this present world. We now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit and in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victories in our hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray. You know, beloved, we are going to deal with Because He Said So, part two, if you would. And there's some things that I started and I began to understand from the last series that we had. This is the period, if you would, to those things, because God wants us to function by what he said. So this would be because he said so, part two. And we know that the word of God in the heart of the believer becomes a declaration of faith and victory, because we've understood that faith is a language and the exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven given to man. And this faith is unstoppable both in heaven and in earth. And just as a thought process to remind you that when we make declarations, and you can turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and we'll just quote a couple of scriptures so you can hear that faith has been given to us to cause our world to be what it was ordained to be. If you find yourself in a mess, then the best thing that you should do is to go and find out how to get that turned around by the word of God, because he's wanting you to live according to the word that he sent, that he gave. I mean, he's believing that you will turn the things around so that you can see what he said, what he wants to do. Let's see what it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And he says that, as it is written, I made thee the father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Okay, so he's asking us to do what he taught Abraham to do. And he taught Abraham to begin to take the word of God, use the word of God until the situations that you're looking at are changed. Okay? Because he believed God. Okay? And he says that God was showing him how he does it. He calls those things that be not as though they were. Okay, you're learning some things about God, how he functions. All throughout the ministry of Jesus, all throughout the ministry of Paul, God was teaching us by revelation how we should function. Okay, I pray that in my prayer at the beginning that he would show us how to live in this world. See, that he would show us the secrets that would cause us to be able to win every time, all the time. You're not supposed to be underneath circumstances, because he's made you the head and not the tail. He's made you above only and not beneath. Okay? So then we should, we have to come to the place where we believe that. Okay? That we then function in that. Okay? So that's what he says there. And in Romans chapter 10, I'm just going to say verse 6 through 10. And it says, again, this is he teaching Abraham, teaching the patriarchs how to do that. And it says that the righteousness which is by faith does what? It speaks on this wise. Okay? So there is the righteousness that's given by faith. Okay? Not the part that we might have thought we heard or wanted to hear or all that stuff. He said very clearly that there is a righteousness has the ability to bring to pass words. The righteousness which is by faith does what? It said it speaketh on this wise. It tells you not to say in your heart things that you want to happen, but you're waiting on somebody to get them to you. Okay? He said, don't say this in your heart. Who shall ascend to heaven? Don't say, who shall get this from me? He's given you the right to speak. Because we just heard that, like God, we have the ability to call those things that be not as though they were. So then we shouldn't just be looking at situations hopelessly, shouldn't we? No, he's giving you the right. And here are, if you would, the blueprint. Here's the blueprint of what we should be able to do. See? So he said that we should call those things that be not as though they were. But don't look at the situation with a heart that's in unbelief. Okay? Because that's not the righteousness which is of faith. You know, I guess that could be the righteousness that we have, not the righteousness that is of faith, because the righteousness of faith speaks from your supply. We're going to get into that, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I hope I'll be able to get there. See, when you're believing God for something, one of the things you're going to have to do immediately is to stop speaking what you don't have. He said, don't say in your heart, who going to do it for me? Okay? Who going to go to heaven and get this for me? Who going to help me get this done? Don't say that in your heart. Okay? But please get that and understand that he's wanting you to have a heart that is fully trusting him. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. See, he's looking for a whole heart. If you go to the word of God and you are double-minded in your position, okay, then that's not going to put you in position to win. This is the righteousness that is of faith. It does not speak who gonna get it done for me. Who gonna go to ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. See, he's asking us to understand this. Don't look at the situation. That's good. Okay, he said, who shall go to the deep, that is to raise Christ up from the dead. He says, why are you looking at him that way. All right. It has been said that a lot of people that profess they believe God only deal with Jesus either as a baby in the crib at Christmas time, or when he's hanging on the cross. Both of those things happened. Those were events that had to happen. But he says, don't look at it as it's not complete. The complete work of Jesus was done from Calvary forward. See, because he gave his life so that we can have life. And then he was raised from the dead so that we can have answered prayer and victory. That's why we ask for things in Jesus' name. And that's all that you got to remember, people, that the only thing that the disciples had was an understanding of the name of Jesus. That's all they had. See, they couldn't go and read 1 Corinthians. It wasn't written yet. Amen. We're talking about the first church. See? The one that the disciples were dealing with. We kind of dug into that in the book of Acts last time. Just kind of look there so we can revisit this. I want you to see it. Okay? This is the book of Acts chapter 4. We've got to have, don't say the wrong things in your heart. Have the right conversation. And conversation is interpreted or has the meaning of not only what you say, but how you live, okay? In Acts chapter 4, let's look at verse 29 and following. They had just got through with the whole process of Jesus being raised from the dead, and the disciples are coming into their own now. They're coming to the place where they can believe God and see God do things. So this is what they did. They said, now, Lord, behold their threatening. Grant unto thy servants with all boldness that they may speak thy word. And how do we, looking at this, isn't it what he says here? He says that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth thine hand to heal. They didn't say, oh, Lord, just help us, so strengthen us so we can deal with it intellectually. They didn't say that. He said this is what they were praying. This is how they were living. This is how they were believing. Okay? And you got to remember that in the time that the first church was being developed, they were dealing with life and death stuff. Because if you're going to read it here, when Paul came, he had permission to kill anybody that was using the name of Jesus. That was some life and death stuff there, y'all. That wasn't no just because I feel good. We were not talking about goosebump gospel here. Okay? This was how they were living. They were understanding that it was only Jesus that I needed. And please know that that was a conversion for them. Because they had been used to doing things from a religious perspective, okay? They were trying to be Sadducees and they were trying to be Pharisees. That's all they had. But now here is a new way of getting things done. Okay, that's good. I heard it this way. This was not a thing they were doing. This was the thing to get things done. This is not a way of doing. This is a way to have victory. Do you see the difference? See, I can go by what I've been doing all the time. This is the way we did it. This is the way my mama did it. This is the way my grandmama did it. Okay, I can understand that. But that's just doing a thing. When you are the thing, then you get to live in it. See? They weren't just quoting scripture. The word was alive. Look at what they say. We need you to grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. See, everything that they were doing, the place that they resided in faith in is in the name of Jesus. Okay? I want you to get that, know that. Because we don't just say at the end of the prayer, in the name of Jesus, because that's our period, if you would. Okay? No, that is our expectation. That's what that is. It's going to be done because of the name of Jesus. Because he says he's exalted his name above everything. See? He's exalted his name. That at the name of Jesus, every tongue would confess, every knee would bow. What does that say? That everything that's made, that's what it said in John chapter 1, there was nothing that was made that was not made by him. Yeah. So then him is speaking again because he's given us his name. Wow. All right, just so that you can see this, flip back over to Acts chapter 4. Are you in there? Just go back a little bit and notice what he said. Starting at verse 10. See, they were living this. This was active, stuff that was happening every day to them. And so the way out, they understood it was going to be because of the name of Jesus. Let's watch this. Verse 10 in chapter 4. Be it known unto all you, people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, and then God raised him from the dead, the man stands before you whole. Okay? They were asking questions of how these miracles happened. And then people say, oh, we ain't going to tell you it was by the word of God. We just don't know what it was. And he said, no, let me tell you. Look, Peter, I'm going to make it plain to you. Be it known unto all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Now, see, they are bringing the magnifying glass in so they can see clear whom you crucified. See, this ain't going to be just somebody off the street somewhere. This is Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, A, and whom God raised from the dead. Okay? So because that's a lot of people that have the name Jesus, Jesus in Spanish, I believe it is. There's a lot of people that have the name, but he said, no, we're going to make sure you understand who we're talking about. It is the one you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Maybe just ask some questions here. Maybe you haven't entered into your salvation to the fullness. Because, see, these are people that understood that they could be the ones that live by the name of Jesus in fullness. I pray in the name of Jesus, but I don't believe that he's actually going to do it. I just wish he would. No, see, these people said, stretch forth your hand because you gave us boldness that when we say something, signs, wonders, miracles, healings take place because of the name of Jesus. Keep reading. Verse 11, he said, this name, this Jesus, is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See? They believed to the point, past the point of slander. Are you willing to believe past that point of slander, having people talk about you? Amen. That's just, could you take an insult to receive a miracle? Well, they're talking about me. Okay, that doesn't mean that you give up what you said you believe in. They said I'm part of a cult. That doesn't mean you give up what you said you believe in. These people understood the name of Jesus. They said, there is no other name given whereby men must be saved. Salvation is a twofold deliverance, because that's what salvation is. Deliverance is a two-part situation. In order for deliverance to be complete, you have to be moved from one place and arrive or put in another place. Okay, using your mail carrier as an example. The letter leaves the mailbox, comes to your house. When it gets into your house, that mailman has delivered the mail. Up until when he left the post office in the morning, he was just carrying the mail. But when it got to your mailbox, it was then delivered. He knew his job was to take this from here to there. Amen. So then as believers, we have to let our spirit do the same thing. Bring the answer from heaven to earth. Isn't that what Jesus taught us to pray? Thy will be done where? In two places, in heaven and in earth. Well, let me help you with the in earth. You are made of the dust of the earth. So in heaven, as it is in me, would be applicable here. Amen. That's why at the name of Jesus, every knee, every tongue, and what shall they confess? That Jesus is Lord. And they're going to do that to the glory of God. See? I mean, we've got to begin to go back to, let's try this, because some of us, when we were a baby Christian, we would see God do things because there was a grace on infancy. You'd pray and bind up this and ask God to move for that, and you'd see things happen. That was his wooing process, bringing you to the place of maturity. See? Because the Bible tells us we're supposed to go on, move to the next level, glory to glory kind of stuff. See? But a lot of times we stayed babes, and we're not supposed to stay babes. We're supposed to be those who are of full age, that even their senses know the difference between good and evil. See? We're no longer dealing with milk. Milk does give you nutrition, but God wants us to go to the place where we can take strong meat. See? So that we can stop. That's good, sir. Okay, so you see that. You see that right there, that they understood that things are going to be done by the name of Jesus, that there is no other name given whereby men must be saved, where salvation, soteria, must happen. Okay? So then it says in verse 29 again, so now, Lord, since we already heard this, we believe this, we're going to state this, all of this is the same chapter. Okay, this is if you would the breaking forth of the church. Okay, this is how they begin to function. They had this great expectation here. See, they weren't just thinking that it's good to have this in your words just because you sound good, look good. No, they were believing this. I mean, again, y'all, we're talking about stonings and beheadings and all these kind of things. If you're going to say you're with Jesus, then you say, okay, you're going to put up with all the persecution that comes with it. And yes, they did, thankfully. Now behold, verse 29 again, behold their threatenings, and grant that thy servants, us, with all boldness, may be able to speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and the Holy Ghost, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word with boldness. I want you to just see that. I mean, look at that picture, this word picture that's painted here. It says, Lord, please show them people by signs and wonders, that your word that we're speaking, that your word that we believe is real. And then as soon as they had prayed, and when they had prayed, the place began to shake where they were assembled. Glory to God. Why did the place begin to shake? Because God is in the midst of them. So then I will just ask questions here. You know, they expected that, y'all. See, they had years to develop some of these things. These were the ones that came out of the wilderness. And in the wilderness, they were led forth by the presence of God, a pillar of fire and a cloud of smoke. All day, they would see that pillar of fire walking where they were going. So don't you think the children, because they were now becoming of age here, okay, some of those children would be coming of age here, they saw God, because this is, okay, I keep going back. I see some of these things I say, I just know because I've read the word. But see, sometimes people might not have heard that, seen that, and so they're not connecting it. When the day of Pentecost was come, there was a motion they heard suddenly, the wind that sounded like a train, hurricane kind of stuff. Just back up since we're here. Just back up. Go to Acts chapter 2. Just want you to see this. Connect this picture. Because he's teaching us with all of the things. He's teaching us by promise and experience. Okay? He's not just telling you to believe something where there's no evidence. He's going to teach you by the word and by experience. Please don't forget that you have to have the word to validate the experience. Don't just try to live in the goosebumps. Okay. That's the experience. Well, if this happened in a while, did you see? No. Look at it as a promise being completed, fulfilled. Then you'll have confidence in the promise. Have confidence. Jesus taught us about that. And we might be able to get there. That people came because they saw the loaves or they saw the miracle. Okay. He doesn't want us to follow miracles. In fact, miracles should follow us, according to the scripture. Then they just say, and now in the name of Jesus, do something. Show yourself by signs and miracles. Show yourself. See? They weren't living in the goosebumps. They were declaring what he promised, and the goosebumps then came forth. All right? Let's put the thing back. We got the cart in front of the horse. The cart in front of the horse don't work unless you're feeding the horse. The cart has to be behind the horse. Then he can pull it. Acts chapter 2. It says that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all one accord in one place. And suddenly, I love the "and suddenlies" of the Bible. And suddenly, a sound from heaven is what they heard. They heard the rumblings of things to come as a rushing of a mighty wind. And this sound filled the place where they were. The announcement of God's coming filled the place. Then, because the announcement was made, we're going to have the experience now. Okay, come on. A sound from heaven as the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then there appeared unto them after the sound, okay, you had the promise, then you had the response from heaven, first a word, a sound, then a manifestation, an amen from heaven, and a manifestation in the earth. I'm trying to paint a picture here so that you could not look at this just as an account, but as something that stays with you. Because, again, that child would ask, "Mama, what's that fire in front of us? And mama would say, that's God, honey. He goes before us. Hey, daddy, what's that cloud of smoke that keeps moving? That's God. He goes before us. We're learning and being trained how to follow the cloud, how to follow the fire. No, we're not seeking the fire. We're following the fire. Because where his presence is, the manifestation of what he's doing now can be seen. Okay? This is a picture I'm trying to paint in your thought processes. See, so that you can see that God, who has done great things for you, wants you to be able to count on, depend on the name that gives you the right for those things to happen. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire. And this which appeared unto them set upon each of them. Notice, I'm trying to get you to see how it happened. There was a response from heaven. Then there was a manifestation on the earth. Then the completion of both, it says that that fire, those cloven tongues of fire, came and set upon each of them and filled them because of his resting upon them. My God, my God. I mean, 120 of them were in the upper room and experienced this because this was the promise that Jesus told them to wait for. A word, then the manifestation of the word, actions because of the manifestation of the word, and then I am changed. I mean, I would like for you to do that. It's because he said so. See, we're finding the what he said, the promise, then because of what he said, we get to enjoy it and experience it. He said it set this fire, this cloven tongues, the same thing that they saw in the desert came to them in the upper room and set up. You got to, come on, y'all, come on. This was a fire. It said it was a fire. And the fire set upon each of them. Can you imagine person 119, all of the expectation that he had in his heart after seeing him, after seeing the Spirit of God sit upon 119 people in front of him and still see the 119 people? They were not consumed in the fire. They were all praising God because they experienced the move of the Holy Ghost, and they were all filled with the Spirit of God and began to speak in other tongues. I mean, take your mind there. See that imagery. That God was so loving and so complete that he gave us an experience that we should look at it and say, okay, wait a minute, that's person number one. That's person number two. That's person number 30. That's person number 50. I see this every time. The person that's 119, that person that's 120 is not mad because he wasn't first. He's looking at in awe and wonder at now what's happening after the person number one, number 30, number 50 have all been filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, there was no fear in that upper room. It was expectation in that upper room. See, because he said so. Jesus told him, wait for the Spirit of God. Wait for the manifestation. Wait for the promise. And then when I see the promise being made manifest in person number one, I am happy because I know that person number 120 is going to have a promise fulfilled in their life. I mean, each time this is happening, because it didn't say, and he wished through the room, he said he took the time to sit upon each of them. Glory to God. Whatever was in the heart of person 50, the person knew how to go about getting that done because the Holy Ghost came and set upon them and gave them understanding, and they began to speak in other tongues, praise and worship to God. I mean, it's just amazing to me that we would read over that and we just go, okay, that was cute. No, it wasn't cute. This was to build faith. This was to show us how to live as we wait on God. Come on, y'all. As we wait on the Lord to do what he's going to do, I have expectation in my heart. Because I know that the whole place was already filled with the sound of what's going to happen. When it came into the room, it became the sound of expectancy. Person number 120 was not mad because he was last. Because expectation from all of the things that I'm seeing grew and grew and grew and grew. To the point that when they came out of there, they were then able to cause people to get saved in a hurry. Come on back. Let's keep reading this. Oh, Lord Jesus. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, the people on the outside heard all of this, and they thought it was kind of crazy. Thought they was full of new wine. See, okay, wow. See, they were in the upper room, and they saw and experienced this. And then as they came in contact with other people who had not seen that, they thought the other people thought they were crazy. And then Peter stood up and said in verse 14, and he said, wow, okay. Peter standing up with the 11. So they were all standing up here. I want you to get that. The position, wow, Lord. The position and posture of the people that were in the upper room, the 11 was standing, weren't they? Because when people would confront them, they would kind of draw back. But no, it says this time the 11 and Peter were standing. And Peter spoke and said, ye men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be known unto you this day and hearken to my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, seeing that it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass. In the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit of those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hear ye, O men of Israel, those words, Jesus of Nazareth, and a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, whereof you yourselves also know. It says that God did things by him in the midst of you. That's good to know, because God wants to do the same thing. He wants to do great signs and wonders by you in the midst of the people that don't understand, that have never seen it on this wise. This is the position that Peter kept talking from that point all the way to chapter 4. Okay, you can read it and study it because I won't have the time to just go through that. But that's what Peter was doing. He was giving a testimony. Okay, because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that which he was filled with came out of his mouth. And then Peter kept, he began to live this. That's why in chapter 3, when you hear about the man that was lame from his mother's womb, listen to what Peter did. Okay, here we go. Chapter 3, verse. Well, all right. See, Peter just didn't take this experience. There you go. I'll do it this way. Study chapter 2 through chapter 5. Just take the time to study that. And again, as you study it, please allow the Spirit of God to let you see it happen. Amen. That's what I'm believing for. Don't just read it because it was a homework assignment, done that. No, let God show you. I want you to experience that with those that were there. I mean, it's something that God does. He did it for me. I was just studying the Word. I was in the Word minimum 16 hours a day. Yeah, I wasn't working so that I could do that. So minimally, it was going to be 16. I'd get up. Then when I was even working at the church, I'd work. Yeah, it was more long than that. You're right, Lord. I'd get up at about 4 o'clock in the morning, read and study. Then I'd go to work by 7, and then I would work sometime till 9 o'clock. Then I'd come home, eat, and get back in the Word for another 2.5 hours, and then 4 o'clock in the morning, we're doing it all over again. This was for Jesus, 15 years. But I was working at a church, so it was easy for me to do that. God will work it out for you too. But I was walking down in the church downstairs, and I'm listening at the Old Testament, because for a long time, all I did is read the New Testament. That's what he told me to do. I read from the book of Matthew to the book of Jude, and I go back and do that over and over and over and over every day. And I'd make marks in my Bible and underline stuff and highlight stuff. I'd be listening to the Word of God on tape, I mean, all day. And then he allowed me to read the Old Testament. And I read over there where God didn't want to, in Chronicles, where God told them that he was their God. He wanted to be their king. And then they asked him for a king to be set over them. And as soon as I heard that, I actually, literally shouted out in the church, in the basement, "No, don't do that!" As if I could change what had already happened, because I was living in the experience. I wasn't just reading it. See, I was actually living in it. And as soon as I said no, I said, "Wait, Steve, you can't change nothing." I said, "Yeah, you're right, Lord." But why did they do that? So read, study Acts chapter 2 through chapter 5. And begin to allow God to put you in that situation so that your imagery will allow you to see what's happening. Okay? You can see the growth of Peter. Peter, come on now. Peter denied him 3 times. Now you see Peter standing with the 11. Come on. The same people, Peter, that denied him is now standing with the people that say, "We love Jesus." And God allowed him to be the spokesman. That's what Jesus told was going to happen. He said, "Peter, Satan wanted to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen the brother." This is Peter after receiving strength. He saw the man. Chapter 3, they went down. Peter and John went down to the temple to pray, and at the hour of prayer being the 9th hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John, did what he's always done, about to go in the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes up on him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his ankle and his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping, stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. See, all Peter had, the understanding was, in the name of Jesus. You can't walk. You've been carried for years. Now I'm going to tell you, let's do something because the name of Jesus has given us the right to do that. He said, Peter didn't even talk to the man. He said, just looking at the man. He didn't ask the man, why are you laying down there like that? Why you ain't getting up and doing no work? Why are you? He didn't ask the man none of the questions. He said he put his eyes on the man and said to the man, you have an expectant heart. I can see that. So now, I don't have silver and gold. But what I do got, I'll give that to you. Oh, my God, my God. Okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let's read that again. Peter, verse 6. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. He didn't say, I'm going to give you faith. He didn't say, I'm going to give you healing. The only thing Peter gave him was a word. And that word was going to be confirmed because Peter understood that God's going to work with him, confirming the word with signs following. Come on, y'all. He's going to confirm what was said with signs following. I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. I mean, because the name of Jesus was the only revelation that they had, because Peter just told us, this is the only thing I got. See? I have faith that the name of Jesus will restore whatever is ailing you. Hallelujah. That's a promise. Somebody better grab that. Thank you, sir. He said, this is what I've got. All I got is belief in God that the name of Jesus will cause everything that's missing in your life to be restored. If you're missing strength in your ankle bones, he's going to restore that. If you're missing, come on now, whoa, my Jesus, look at this. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Please help me. Please help me. He gave him a word from God. And the man expected to receive something. So then that word that he expected to receive, get up and walk, the man began to leap and jump and praise. He began to walk. It did not say the man began to stumble. It didn't say that. It said the man immediately receiving strength in his ankle and in his feet. He said he stood up. See the picture. Once the man received the name of Jesus and the power of the name of Jesus, he received the ability to do what he had never done before. Jesus didn't need no rehabilitation for the man to go through. The man began to run. He had never done that before, people. He began to leap. He had never done that before. He was lame. Come on, y'all. Let me just make sure. I'm looking at the right man. Let's just make sure. He was lame, verse 2, from his mother's womb. So let's just look at this. This man didn't even go through the process of crawling. He was lame from his mother's womb. Those legs never worked. Immediately, he received the answer to his life. God Almighty, say these things, God. He received the answer to his life because he was there begging. And now his whole life changed because he was leaping. Let's look at what the man did now. He went past what we would expect. He didn't start with wobble. See, he started with leaping, which he had never done in his life. He started with leaping, and then he stood up. Then he walked and entered into the temple with them, leaping and praising God. So three areas of his life God fixed because of the name of Jesus. And then all of the people are going to say, I don't know how that could happen. Well, the man said, this is the same man. Yesterday you gave me 2 pennies, and today both my feet is working. Then they kept saying, they marveled at that. And Peter again began to just tell them how this whole thing happened. To ask them, do you want to participate in this? He said, because y'all denied, verse 14, you denied the Holy One. You denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are a witness, that through his name, through faith in his name, is this man made whole. Whom you see, knowing, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him perfect, excuse me, y'all, it said that the man had been given what? Perfect soundness. Whew. And perfect soundness would be like now the man is acting like a child. They'll get tired of jumping up and down. Perfect soundness. Don't have a concern about anything. See? Hands and feet now work together. Mind and feet now work together. Perfect soundness. He didn't go stumbling up the steps. Perfect soundness. His mind told him, lift your feet this far. Put it on that step. Perfect soundness. And he told him, he said, I know, 17, that you did what you did out of ignorance. So did your rulers. But those things which God hath before had showed us by the mouth of his prophets, that Christ should suffer, and he did, so fulfilled. So now I'm going to tell you what you need to do, boys, verse 19. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that you may be able to enjoy times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Peter was saying, this is available for everybody. Okay. Then we pick him up in chapter 4 and go on with this testimony. But he said that, be it known unto all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole. This is a stone that was set at naught by you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given whereby men must be saved. And they saw that they were ignorant and unlearned men, and they said that they had been with Jesus. Keep reading down. Verse 29 of chapter 4. I mean, all of these things were happening to cause people to be able to change their position, understand that the God that they're praying to has an answer for them. He's not just happy because you came to fellowship and pray, because you came to have praise service. He's happy because he's going to be able to do something. Verse 29, they told him that they wanted him to shut up. Don't tell nobody how this happened. And they said, well, no, we can't do that. Then he said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And now grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that you they, that we may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were gathered together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither of them had aught against had aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. Verse 33, and with great power gave apostles the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. All right, I wanted to get to that point right there. It says that great power, God did something with this great power, which he gave to the apostles as to tell them to speak the word of God, to give testimony, to be a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And then he said, and great grace was upon them all. He had already put has given great power to the apostles. So did he need to give the apostles something else? No, because they had great power. But he did give to us the name of Jesus that was given to every man that's on this place. See? We've got to, again, begin to understand how God wants us to do the things that are necessary. Excuse me. See? There was great grace upon them all. Them all would mean you too, when he says God's not a respected person. See? And then we talked about how Ananias got in and Sapphira let the devil get in there. As soon as the Spirit of God was moving, the devil joined the church the next day. He got in there the next day. But God had an answer for him. And people were scared to join the church. They were scared to keep themselves in that bad position. But God wanted them to be able to pursue him, because this is what has been given to us. This is what has been given to us, the name of Jesus. See? So that faith that he gave us is what he wants us to use. And it's going to grow and become exponential, because 5,000 people were joined to the church. The next day, 3,000 people. Why? Because he gave them great power to give testimony. See? And that's what we need to do. We need to align ourselves so that we can talk about Jesus. I don't know. Let's try this. When we go and we're talking about all our problems and the frustrations that we have, see, we shouldn't be doing that. We should be the ones that understand how God wants us to function, how God wants us to do it. I mean, he was a great thing. Is that what we're going to do? Greater work? Amen. So then we have to learn how to believe what we hear, speak what we believe. It's a language that's been given to us. And Jesus was teaching us how we can participate in the areas of faith, the world of faith. So you don't say in your heart, this is what got me here, who shall ascend to bring Christ down? Now, what does it say? It is nigh you, even in your mouth. That's the word that we preach. Okay? That's what he wants us to say, man. And so you can say, as he talks, Romans chapter 10, 9-10. That verse 6. So, but the writer lives in faith, speaking from his life. So don't speak contrary to this. Okay? Don't speak like, don't say, who shall bring the promise down here? Or who shall go to heaven, to hell, and bring the promise up? Okay?
faith and go to heaven. He says, but what does it say, verse 8? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thy heart, God is written unto thee that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. He says, what is it to you? It is already in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's nigh you. Your deliverance. Salvation, that word salvation means deliverance. Okay? And he tells you how it works. And he says, what the devil has been doing? I'm going to look at this. For the scripture says, who's going to believe all them should not be ashamed. But there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is no law. The rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, shall be saved. And then they ask the question, how shall they call on him they don't know? How shall they believe in him they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? So please just don't run and grab somebody and say, you sound good to me. No, they have to be sent. Amen. They have to be sent. Usually I found out that the way you're sent is that you go through things to cause you to be converted. That's what Jesus told Peter. I pray for you, and when you are converted, he didn't just say, and go convert people. Amen. How beautiful to see them that speak the gospel peace and bring that tidings of good things. But then all of us obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who have we believed thy report? And he says, well, to let you know about this report, if they didn't believe, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So if faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, that tells me again that faith is a language and an exchange currency of the kingdom of heaven. And like I said, you can write that one down. Now, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So faith then is connected to language. Amen. So then we learn that we can call those things that be not as though they were. That's the language. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 is a very interesting, has an interesting twist on it for me. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says that through faith we understand. Wow. So then I don't just believe with what my eyes see. My understanding is profitable because faith causes me to know something. Through faith we understand that the world is framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are made of things that do not appear. But are made of things that do appear. See? So then it's a language that we're going to have to learn. And language, as you're learning it, when you're in grade school, they would tell you to how they would give you words to study. And all they were doing is building the vocabulary. So that's what we have to do, is go and build our vocabulary. Find faith sentences and say them over and over. Okay? You read the whole account. Find faith testimonies. That's how I do. And you find those faith testimonies out of the word of God. All right? That's what you give your testimony. Because then we put stuff on God and God has nothing to do with it. Okay? And I'm not mad because we would say things like, the Lord gave me this or that. Yeah, God gave me this car. And I worked out the deal, and I worked out the deal, and so I only got to pay $400 a month. Okay, well, let me help you out. God gave you grace, but if you were going to get it by faith there, you would have done something different. You would have said, okay, car, walk into the church, and somebody says, here, that's God giving you the car. You use some of your ability to get it. I'm not mad about that. I'm trying to get a scriptural definition. Stop being confused, because they will go and do what we saw somebody else do. Well, I can make the payment. Right now, at this time, you don't know what's coming tomorrow, do you? No, you don't. So if you would wait on the Lord, you'll renew your strength. See? I'm not telling you don't go out and get that. Did I say that? God's going to say that. But there is another way. Okay? And when you enter into that realm and see those things happen from that perspective, that's when things get exciting. Then you walk into the end suddenly of the things of God. Amen? Okay? So, yes, you can start with, okay, I have a pretty good credit report. I mean, don't think the man that Peter healed, did the man have a good credit report? He had undoubtedly. It was the name of Jesus spoken, and the words that were spoken, Jesus honored those words. This one takes work. Okay? I'm not mad at you, but it has been done another way, and he showed us that. Peter had to pay his taxes. And so Jesus told him to go and do what he knows to do. But he said, but the first piece that cometh up out of the water, you'll find gold to pay our taxes. Wow. So then there's a realm where things just happen from a different perspective. Jesus made a fish a banker. I mean, that's what happened there. He made a fish a banker. He said, go do what you know to do. You're a fisher. You're a fisherman, Peter. Go fishing. Go down to the lake. But the first fish, and I love this phrase, out of the water. And I'm just the first fish that comes up out of the water. Reach it off and get the gold out of that. I mean, can you put the fish have a hook and the provision? I mean, so God, there is another way to get this. That's all I'm saying to you. When we wait on the Lord, then we can get miracles that way. I was just giving my testimony. I was as I said, I started with my church. And I was riding, I didn't have no car, I was riding a bus. And so as I was riding the bus every day, it took me, the bus would take me to a point in the route where the bus driver would get out of the bus and go smoke a cigarette. Okay? It was a 15-minute level. I couldn't do nothing about that. But I didn't get to work. So I didn't get to work at the time I was supposed to. I got there when I could. Or I had to get up way before time. And so Pastor saw that, and he said, well, about 2 or 3 days, he saw that. He said, oh, yeah, we need you here at this time. He said, so here, take this key, and that car that it opens, take that car, and you use that to go with. So I did that. And then as I was doing this, I did not have, again, I'm working in a church, and I'm trying to understand how to walk in the Spirit and believe God and stuff. Then the assistant, the church assistant, Dr. Secretary, the one that was actually one of the finance managers, came to me maybe about a week later and said, here's a credit card for gas, because we want to make sure that all of the vehicles are full of gas all the time. And he said, well, you can use it for your car too. So for 13 years, I did not have to purchase a car. I didn't have to do maintenance on the car. I didn't have to put gas in the car. A testimony of what God did. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't go ask, beg. I didn't finagle. I just waited on the Lord. because he knows what I have need of before I ask. He's the one that said he would supply all my needs. And my need is not going to be supplied by me doing things. He says that my need will be supplied by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. See, there is another way to get it done. Just trust in the Lord and listen at what he says. Because remember, we saw that the first thing that came was a word. Then there was the movement of heaven, the sound from heaven. Then there were things that were changed in the physical atmosphere. Okay. So by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that as I'm learning and getting vocabulary building, then I have to learn how to intentionally use them properly. Jesus said in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will then ask what you will, and it will be given you. So I'm getting to understand the specifics of it, intentionally, proper use. My vocabulary has been built up to the point where I can say what the word says. And I didn't say I can say it with policy, because that's not what I'm going to do. I'm a parent when I do that. But I can say what the word says. That makes me connected to Jesus. That's for a while in my life, it was Jesus and Paul. What I see in Acts chapter 17 is the seven sons of Stephen. When I see that, I say, oh, yeah, right. I can't be like them. I have to have a promise that I understand myself. But the answer, I'll give me all these Jesus that call for you. And just so you know, the man was actually on 19. It has to be something that I know of. But if I'm trying to live off another man's grace, that's not what I want to do. He wants me to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay. So we learn how to do that. We can go to Matthew 11. You know this familiar with the scripture. 28-30. And he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest and be a soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He said, come here. It's now tired. If you have a bunch of issues, heavy laden, he says, and stop looking for your rest in your government. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. When I hear about the yoke that Jesus had, I only remember him being connected to the Father. He was not connected to another. He didn't use the community to get his needs. He stayed with the Father. Take my yoke. Okay. Be connected to God the way I'm connected to God. I see God. I mean, wow. You can see how he did these things again because he was connected to God. I hope I can get there. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Okay? He says, when you do this, you'll find rest for your soul. Wow. Okay, that's good, Lord. If I take his yoke, then I'll find rest for my soul. But if I get somebody else that I just happen to know, happens to have whatever I need, I'm not going to find rest. Because I'm going to now be thinking about all the stuff I got to do to make it all right with them. If they gave me this, I'd be giving them that. Yeah. God doesn't do that. When he gets you, there is no need for you to think about the exchange anymore. It now flows from him to you. Flows. I don't have to go and make it happen. When you do this my way, it'll be easy. And the burden will be light. And Jesus is showing us some of these things in Matthew chapter 14. I guess I'll wrap up here. Matthew chapter 14. He wants us to get what we need from the Father. Verses 14 through 36. And Jesus went forth and saw great multitudes and was moved with compassion for them. And he healed that sick. And when he immediately, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. The time is now past. Send the multitude away, and then they go into the villages and buy themselves a victual. And Jesus said, they don't need to depart. He'll give them to you. And they said to him, but we have the five loaves and two fish. And Jesus said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the five loaves and two fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and break and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And when they did all eat and were full, then they took up fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. You see, Jesus is trying to get us to see that it's not your supply doesn't come from people. He will use the people to get you back to the place of flow. Okay? He was teaching them something that was a little bit different. He never heard these things before. He showed them how to get the things that they needed from God. To be able to function. He was trying to get them to see that so much, I got so much to look at. And so, you know, I just, well, I'd like to know which one is first. But, here we go. Jesus made you. We need to look at it. He told them that they need to go. But that they were going to give them, and they were just looking at their supply, what they had. He doesn't need you to finish his work because you are the one who's providing. He needs your heart, period. This is what he did. He showed them how they could multiply by blessing. In John chapter 6, it says that when he took the loaves and the fishes, that he looked up to heaven, he gave thanks. This one says he blessed. I don't find what he wanted. He went to a place where God and him were connected in the extent. Okay? So he said when he was doing that, he gave thanks. So he showed them how they could multiply by blessing. It was five loaves and two fish. He took it up, lifted it up, and gave thanks, and then he gave the loaves to the multitude. Another thing that he did in this effort is he showed them how through thanksgiving functioned by order. He made them to sit down. by they told you to sit down in specific places. And notice that he said a couple things here. He said that he said he gave them to sit down in the grass. And I hadn't ever thought about it. But it says that in John, it says there was much grass. Didn't he say this was a desert place? Yeah, well, where did much grass come from? Yeah. But the reason I saw it as interesting is because grass represents that which is common. Okay? Because grass is all over the place. But trees are predominant. Okay? They're not just everywhere. So then I began to ask, I'm a tree that's the planting of the Lord. So then I'm going to be in a place that the common is going to be lower than where I am. Trees are taller at a different height than grass. So that I need to come out of the common, the low place, and exist in the high place. It's only things that he's teaching us when things are going on. So if he wants us to live, show forth his glory in the place of abundance. He made him sit down among the grass, abundance. It's everywhere. They didn't see it. They didn't understand. Everything that you need has already been given to you. The Bible says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So that I don't need nothing else. What I need to do is to understand what God has placed in my life. What God has already ordained for my life. So when I begin to function from that perspective, I can then use the God in a way where I don't have to go begging him for this, that, or the other. When the disciples told him about the people, Jesus already knew himself what he was going to do. But he didn't go big. He went and took what he had, collected it, had orders established, gave thanks to his Father. And that which he already knew in himself was now going to be made manifest. I don't know, you know, that people thought about it, because again, you're talking about 5,000 men. I mean, a lot of them were married. A lot of them had kids. So we could easily come to a number that might go to 20,000 people. And yet, they were all healed, the Bible says. If you give away free food, people are going to go out and act like a tourist board. They're going to roll out of there. They're going to be showing up fast. And then to show his faithfulness, he even blessed above what the need was. Because he told us to be in a place of abundance, commonplace, where there is a lot of whatever we do, so that he can get glory out of the thing that he does in you and through you. But the choice is this. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. Will you allow him to magnify, glorify the things that are in you so that men can see it and then be drawn unto him? Or will you continue to be over the death in the frustration, anxiety, and fear of not knowing the supply that he's given you? God's way. Father, again, we thank you. Bless you for the word that you sent to us, Father, as you call us to be able to enter into the faith that you want us to live by. Enter into the faith that you want us to live in. That we will not just stay at the curtain, if you would, or at the door of faith, but we're going to go in and find out all that you want us to do. Hear all that you would say to us so that we can experience the abundance. even by your word. We give you praise, sir. Give you glory and honor. We give you peace, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, if you're blessed to you, then I will go ahead and tell you that we'd like you to go to the website. And at the website, you'll see the donate tab. And you can go ahead and give an offering or a donation to the Lord, which will help us stay on the radio. If you have any questions or comments, again, we give you an opportunity to do that also. So, area code 678-469-7930. If you have the mic, any questions or comments about the ministry, area code 678-469-7930. Amen. So, again, I just thank you for participating in being, letting us come to you through the Blog Talk Radio platform so that we can give information that will build you up, give you an ability to win in every situation because your God is faithful. So, until the next time that we get together, may the Lord bless you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace and love. Until next time we get together. Love you. Yes.